Hello, and welcome to episode 562 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LTA and North Split 2 Week 7 review and the LEC / LTA Split 2 Playoffs preview. That's right, they're happening at the same time. We can finally morph our intro together, and it will be in sync for the rest of playoffs. This episode, though, is lovingly entitled Not So Happy Honda Days. I am your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by three esteemed co-hosts. Up first, confused as always, we got Badger.
Damn, I knew you. As soon as you said confused, I knew you were gonna go to me. Shout out. Oh, gosh, I was going to think of the Dom Juan, of what my old Dom Juan Kia Forte 2023, whatever.
You're doing great.
I was yeah. That.
Yep. Shout out. What was it? Dom Juan Kia. Sorento.
Kia Forte. Sorento.
Off road. Four wheel. Yeah. All the things. All the nominators on the car. The episode of the original working title of the episode was Christmas for Kia. Because they're very happy with some of the news that we're going to talk about here shortly. But before that, let's introduce the rest of the cast. Also joining us, we have Mr. Mazzelpio.
Is the Honda in the room with us right now?
Not anymore.
Is the Honda the friends we made along the way?
Maybe no, excited to be here. It's going to be a fun time. Maybe not so fun for some of it. But
Yeah, some of the news is fun, some of the news less fun. But of course, we'll cover it all. But also joining us, you heard his giggle, we got Yanni.
Yo, what's up? We back once again.
I gotta find a fun way to introduce you.
Well, that was the most low ball softball I've ever heard. Well,
if I showed up more consistently, this wouldn't be a problem.
You know, first off, self call out right there. I didn't say it. I'm happy to have you whenever you can, Yanni. Don't worry.
Hey, listen, bro. Those kidney stones had me in a chokehold last week.
Well, do you want to regale the experience for everybody listening?
It actually wasn't really that bad.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there because I actually don't want to listen.
Well, I wasn't going to get into that part. That part was fine. Okay. I just had a lot of pain on my left side as I tried to flush the rest out. The actual deed was fine. There was no problems,
What a way to describe that.
Well, there we go. That's how I'm going to introduce Yanni next time. Left
please
side,
don't.
Feeling better, Yanni. But thanks for coming on, regardless. We're going to start off, as we always do, with a little tour around the world before we get into some of the more relevant news for our regions that we cover. So, Mr. Mazzelpiel, what's happening in Lipple League?
Dude, Top Esports dropped the bag last night. They lost 2-0 to Bilibili Gaming, and after that, they secured Bilibili, the fourth seed, trouncing Invictus Gaming, who had a hell of a hard time winning their series that was last night as well, to set themselves up to potentially be that last fourth seed. But Bilibili just handled business. The entire team looked way better than their series against JDG, which they had lost 2-0 in the last series before that. And now that means our group Ascend top four is locked. It's Top Esports, Anyone's Legend, JD Gaming, Bilibili Gaming, and the bottom six will be fighting in that playoff play-in to get spots in the actual playoffs, which that'll be Invictus Gaming, Weibo Gaming, Team WE, FPX, NIP, TT, and then from Group Nirvana, LGD and Edward Gaming.
Woo!
Which
Nirvana
is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, they get a little bit of influence. But games have been pretty banger. There's still some movement. There's only 2 days left. I don't know how many days it's going to be as when we get this one out. But as of this moment, there's 2 days left, 4 series left in the regular season before we get to that playoff play-in, which is going to be a lot of fun, a lot of stakes. It's best of fives immediately. So we get the full Fearless experience there. Should be a lot of fun and seeing who's actually going to make it to the playoffs.
Cool, cool. Well, it's awesome that, you know, we're getting to that point for every region around the world, because playoffs are always going to be a little more exciting than group stage. Still crazy. We're not going to see a couple of the LPL teams for the rest of the year, but now more that we won't see for the rest of the split.
An addition, if you just want to take into a measure of what we've gotten, when we still have 4 series left, still some games to be left played, 250 games played as of last night in the regular season.
Oh my god. That's a lot of games.
For how many straight days?
Ever since whatever the March, whatever,
hang on,
wow. However long ago yeah. it was,
that's so every many day. Games.
Yeah, that's a lot of games. It's
and
a lot of games.
Shout out to everybody on the production crew for the LPL Unofficial that put all of their time towards covering those games. Make sure to go follow them again, LPL underscore English on Twitter, and then LPL English on Twitch.
On Twitch. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're also going to have a little more LPL news later here, but we'll first get the LCK update. Badger, anything fun happening in the LCK that you want to let everyone know about?
So remember how I said that Hanwha and Gen.G are the two best teams in the region, and they play each other this week? Actually, they play each other in like 6 hours at this point, and mm-hmm. neither of those teams have dropped a series beyond, besides Hanwha dropping their first series of the split against Gen.G. Well, Hanwha, literally the next morning after we recorded last week, was like, hold my beer, and got 2-1 by KT, and basically threw a wrench into everything. And then, but actually, it worked out really well for them because they're top 3 locked at this point, and Gen.G is top 2 locked at this point, which means that Gen.G is in the win and you're at MSI stage of it. Lose and you're the gauntlet boss at this point. So, so we're basically barreling towards Gen.G and Hanwha playing as the winner goes to MSI as the one seed from Korea, because Hanwha, just running down the table real fast, Gen.G 14-0, 28-3 game score. Hanwha 12-2 with a 25-7 game score. Yeah, 28-3 game score.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
In the LCK, not dropping a series. Woo.
KT Rolster did go 2-0 last week, and FearX did go 0-2. So that pretty much made it so that there's a clear top 6 and a clear bottom 4. Because T1 is sitting at 9-5, the Noodle Boys are sitting at 8-6, and then Domwon, or D Plus, apologies, and KT Rolster are both sitting at 7-7 with BNK FearX sitting at 5-9, and then you got the OK Bros at 4-10, your 2022 world champion DRX at 3-11, and then the DN Freaks at 1-13.
The DN Freaks.
The DN Freaks. That's the name of the team. Freaks.
No.
But nice. Their Berserkers new squad is now sitting at a crisp 1-13 series score with a 6-27 game score on the split. So
you're goddamn right there. That's what NA does to Korean
NA
players.
NA does it. Yeah. Let's go.
I would like to point out that Berserker is doing the Summit's career speed run here.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to end really up in is. LTA Seoul any day now.
Any LTA Seoul probably next season.
Dude,
that's crazy.
I know this is really random. Anyways, keep going. I'm not going to derail.
Sorry. I was just going to say, just coming up in the next week, we've got in 5.5 hours, we've got Gen.G versus Hanwha as like the series of the second half of the split. Nongshim is playing KT on Friday morning. Hanwha plays Domwon on Saturday. Maybe Domwon can start to get their shit together and maybe hop back up into top 4, top 3 potentially. I mean, the 3-6 is kind of wild and how close it is at this point, considering they're all just split by 2 series score pretty much. So a 2-0 week from Domwon and a 0-2 from T1 could easily put Domwon back into the contention of being like second to last round. So
they're not
it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Keep cheering for them. It's okay. We know that it's going to be HLE and Gen.G at MSI and whatever.
I'm fully like betting it at this point that like Gen.G and Hanwha, if Gen.G and Hanwha aren't the two representatives from LCK at MSI, something severely fucked up happened in the next couple of weeks.
Well, that's expectations. Thanks for the update on LCK, but I'm going to bring us back to the LPL here briefly, or maybe not even briefly. We can give our thoughts on it, because in terms of other big global news that happened, we actually had an official announcement of the next Hall of Legends inductee. So I kind of realizing should have reversed the order there, done LCK then LPL, but Mazel.
Can I do it?
Who is it?
Can I get a drum roll, please? It's that dog in the bot lane. It's Uzi Eye to the Hall of Legends. Let's go, baby.
Hell yeah, it is. The legendary 80 carry from the LPL. Never won Worlds, but got close and has just inspired a generation of players to chase that same dream. And I think really does live up to the title of legend. I know some people, like, really the only criticism that I've heard from anybody in the community of, like, ooh, why he shouldn't have gotten it is because he just never won Worlds. But that's not the point of the, you know, Hall of Legends from what we've heard from Riot. Mm-hmm. The point is to highlight players that have left a gigantic impact on the scene. And outside of Faker, I can't think of a name that's a bigger impact than Uzi, or Uzi Eye, as technically it should be.
Yeah, called, so. It's when you look at it, because I actually, this is a conversation that I've had with people before, of like the you think of like the big names like from the past, you think of Uzi, you think of like, I don't know, like Clear Love
that's
or
what
Score
I was,
for
that's
Jungle.
My next. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like Clear Love, like Mad Life or Mata, and then top lane. Don't worry, we'll wait like 3 years to figure out a top laner to
by that time it'll be Zayus.
Yeah, we're just waiting for that. I think the only other person it could have been, because I think it had to be somebody from the LPL.
Yeah,
obviously another league that has such rich mm-hmm. history. It was either Clear Love or Uzi. I'm glad it was Uzi. I'm glad that they chose somebody who had a lot more impact outside of the game. While Clear Love did as well. I mean, he's really the first one to champion that winning culture in the LPL. I think Uzi had such a big impact across the world in so many ways. It's just been so cool to see all the responses from players, like showing out their personal experiences against Uzi, what made him such a good player and what made him a figure that made other people want to be better.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's no surprise. Nobody should be surprised by this. And I disagree with the very few people that have said that, nope, it should have been somebody else.
Yeah.
There's always one of the years.
I want to see Faker's response. I want to know if Faker like wrote something about it. I want to see, because all these big name players have been showing their like history, right? They have like these little moments like, oh, I remember scrimming against this guy this one time, and this memory came. Like, I want to see if Faker has any stories like that to
That'd
come
be
through.
Awesome.
I remember beating this guy at Worlds.
I just kept hunting his support in 2013. It was really easy.
I remember back. This is gonna be a bit of a throwback, but MSI. I think it was 2016. I know I talk about it a lot because of CLG's run, but I just remember that, like, no, I don't think it was, I think it was even the 2017. It was a year after MSI. When we looked at, like, the bot laners that were there, it was, like, Reckless, Uzi, Doublelift. I forget who the Korean bot laner was, but I know that they were considered a legend.
It was, it wasn't.
Was it Ruler?
It was Prey and God, it was fuck. Who was the support at that point?
Maybe Gorilla. So Prey
it was
for
maybe
sure.
Gorilla. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but like I just remember that being like a dude. These are the best bot laners in each region ever, and they're at the same tournament, like just playing against each other. Like that was just like a cool thing to hype up. And then Reckless just
oh no, it was Bang
Kennen the whole time. well, okay.
Wait, no, 2016 or was it 20?
I'm pretty sure 2017. I think it was 2017.
17. Okay, yeah, because he wasn't at. He didn't make it to MSI in 2016.
Sure. Well, I just remember that one being like a cool narrative, and you know he's up there in the conversation of, you know, some of the best players to ever pick up the keyboard. So awesome that Uzi Eye is able to pick that up. Now, what do we think? This is the real hot topic. What do we think about the skins and the champions?
It should have been Vayne, bro.
It should have been Vayne.
Although, so no, I mean,
I think Kai'Sa sells the skin, but having Vayne in the past
As a reality checker, I know we all want it to be Vayne. To be fair,
yes,
win record and games played, his Vayne and his Kai'Sa are actually right next to each other. He actually did play a ton of Kai'Sa. It was a little bit more in the back half of his career. But the big pop-off moments, we all remember the mechanical intensity that we know him for is from the Vayne. But if you look at his actual track record, he's got like 40 more competitive games played on Ezreal than any other team.
Yeah.
Wait, really? Oh, that's really
funny. Oh, yeah. Ezreal is by far his most played.
Yeah. Well, no, it's actually hilarious. Not by far. It's pretty close with Lucian. I think it's like a 7-game difference. But it's still like a large gap.
But from either between Vayne Ezreal or Kai'Sa, and like Kai'Sa. I think of Vayne. When I think Uzi, I think of Vayne. It's what was in the world cinematic and like all these other things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That is actually very funny.
That he stays alive clip was just so crazy. Like that guy was just otherworldly on that champion. But and yeah, I glad Vayne's in Kai'Sa the past, but popular. It had to be the
They want to sell the skin. Yeah. And I'm sure Uzi also wants to sell the skin. So
yeah, sure. Why not?
No surprise. Mm-hmm. No surprise. That was the kind of cool big news that dropped. There's also other big news, less exciting, which
news that dropped about a drop.
Well, okay, I was gonna give you the option. Which TL news did you want to talk about? Because technically there's two. One's a roster.
I feel like
move.
We should just go bad news, good news, so that we can propel ourselves into. First.
So what's going on over at Team Liquid?
So when you're watching the broadcast this weekend, when it just says Team Liquid, don't be surprised by that on the graphics, because Honda has dropped Team Liquid Honda's no longer sponsoring Team Liquid.
They are no longer sponsoring Team Liquid. Do you want to... first off, everyone, take a guess. If you haven't heard the story, take a guess why. One, two, three. There you go. Whatever you're thinking in your head, just have that present. Badger, why did Team Liquid get dropped by Honda?
So the immediate reaction to this is from a tweet from the Rainbow Six player. I can't remember what his name is at this point.
I don't remember either. Yeah.
But one of the Rainbow Six players tweeted a gif of the Hiroshima bomb.
Yep.
After beating a Japanese team or losing. No, they lost to him, I thought.
Yeah, they lost.
They lost to him. So he tweeted that as like the team like mental boomed
exactly, which in his defense, Brazilian player, from what I know about him, he's very young. Obviously if you're in the US or in Japan, you're gonna understand the historical context of nuclear bombs in Japan. I could imagine a world where a Brazilian wouldn't immediately think of that. When you search in Twitter bomb, that's the first gift that pops up. So I actually think that I'm on the side that he did not intend it, and that it was an accident, and that he did not understand. I immediately think the historical context and just search bomb and then just click the first one.
Listen, I'm not condoning the action whatsoever. There's definitely another layer to it, but like just having, you know, Honda, Japanese company, just be like, oh, hey, by the way, Hiroshima bomb gif.
Yep.
It doesn't sit well with them. And who knows whether or not this was the straw that broke the camel's back, or if it was just an isolated incident of stuff that was leading into it. So
we're hearing reports that Honda and Team Liquid were in active negotiations for the next step in their contract, and that Honda was not happy with where they currently were in the discussion. These are unconfirmed reports. It's just I am hearing that this was conversations happening between Team Liquid and Honda. This was kind of, like you said, the straw that broke the camel's back. It's like, Japan's pissed, so now it's just, we're not going to go forward with it. We're dropping you. So that is tough for Team Liquid because title sponsor in esports winter / maybe we're starting to see a bit of spring. It feels like it's warming up, but this is... Not gonna keep the team warm if they can't replace Honda as kind of the title sponsor, or at least find some kind of replacement for it. So heart goes out to Team Liquid and their business development team. Tough spot to be in.
Feels real bad, man.
Yeah, you're telling me the Groundhog didn't see a shadow? We got 6 more weeks of winter.
I think we might. I think we might, in fact, have 6 more weeks of winter. Yeah. But there was also fun Team Liquid news. So, Badger, you wanted to sandwich the bad with the good. What was the fun Liquid news that we saw this weekend?
So, announced a couple weeks ago, UG was joining the team as the 6th man of the team. Mm-hmm. Got stage time this weekend, made his LTA debut against Shopify Rebellion. And
he popped the fuck off,
and
baby.
Looked Let's go, way baby. Better than Umpty did before. So, had a great weekend. We'll talk about it later on when we talk about the games.
But yeah, you're right. We will.
You're gosh
Maybe
darn
a
right.
We will.
From
Core JJ, but still, he delivered.
Yeah. Oh,
he showed up on stage.
Oh, I want to talk about Core JJ's jungle shenanigans that he
pulled.
That was
ridiculous.
It was so funny.
There's a great Core quote that I'll bring up later when we're actually talking about it, but remind me if I forget. But again, saving some of that conversation for later, we just wanted to highlight UG did start for Team Liquid this past weekend. It was a story that we were following very closely, and I think it's really cool to see him have a fantastic debut. Other variety topics, we'll get through these a little quicker because we're already kind of going along. I know we don't have a lot of games to talk about, but I do want to get into the games. If you're a fan of Tier 2 and you've been following Doublelift's team near Airport, had a bit of a mental boom. You can go find a lot of Reddit posts that were blowing up of their very public scrims and very public reviews after, you know, public stage games, and things were looking tough over there. So they had a tough loss. Mizell, do you want to give any more insight into that as somebody that's on the NACL broadcast team?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely was a crash. I think that the team is okay. I think the biggest problem is they don't, at least Doublelift and Spica, don't feel like they have somebody who can kind of like take charge and tell them how to fix things. Cause right now they feel like Croissant is kind of just like a mediator and like passing word from one to the other instead of like deciding on things for the team. So I hope it's kind of a wake up call. It definitely was a little bit of a crash out there. I have a little bit of fun with it, but I think it might be one of those situations where it like actually does matter a bit. And the reason why the crash out, if nobody watched it, you should go watch that series because it was actually a banger series. Winthrop just have their number, but it was a lot of really bad mistakes, a lot of weird engages, a lot of disconnects in team fights, and kind of not being on the same page of what they wanted to accomplish and win. So it definitely feels like the team is buckling a little bit. They have one life left. We'll see if they can keep it going.
And Winthrop, of course, a collegiate team as well that's been playing in NACL for a bit now. So shout out to the college boys. That's it. I think that's actually all the global news that we
have.
Anything else I missed?
The status of Rogue going into...
Oh, that's right.
Really good point. I totally forgot to add that. Yes. Na'Vi. Thank you for bringing that up, Yanni. Na'Vi is this rumored or confirmed, Yanni? Do you remember?
Sources say, according to Sheep Esports. We know that Sheep doesn't often report these things if they're not fairly certain.
They have a really high hit record.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're pretty accurate when it comes to when they decide to make a post, make a whole article. But yeah, it's looking like Na'Vi, who are... I mostly know them prevalent for Counter-Strike. Do they have other esports teams that people are aware of? No? Okay.
I can't remember.
Their Dota team was good back in the day, but like...
Okay.
But this is a return to League for them.
Is it?
Yeah.
So they were back in like season 2. Citizen Wayne was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're absolutely
Remember the Citizen Wayne like lore bomb that I dropped on you, and you're just like, that is a name that I have not heard in a while.
Yeah, brother, why would that stick if there's nothing for me to connect to? I didn't know that was Na'Vi, at least.
Yeah.
They played a bunch in 2012, and they tried to qualify for the EU Challenger Series in 2016. But after that, they lost to Millennium, and then after that, they stopped being a team in League. But now they're back.
Mm-hmm.
So how long ago was that then, Badger? Like at this point,
season two. So February through like August of 2012, and then the tail end of
13 years of 16. Ago.
The beginning of
15 or 16 or whatever.
Yeah, tail end of 15, beginning of 16. So
if
you really want to split hairs, 9 years and some change.
Yeah, but so they have a rich history in Dota. They're part of the EMEA VCT system, and then they're have a good Counter-Strike roster as well.
Okay.
So
cool. So they're in the Riot ecosystem with Valorant then. Yeah, I know about their Counter-Strike stuff. So cool that they are looking to pick up a spot, because that's the tough thing, is like, who is willing to buy a franchise spot at this point? We had heard a lot of rumors that Rogue was looking to leave even like at the beginning of last year. It's been like almost a full year, over a year now.
Yeah.
That we've been hearing.
If Larson's still on this team though, we riot. Like genuinely, like... I swore he had a lifetime contract with Rogue that as long as they stayed in the LEC, he was going to be the mid laner of the team. So hopefully the evil will be defeated if they finally exit the scene. So.
Yep, but we have not heard any roster confirmations yet. I'm sure that they will start announcing stuff, but they have a little bit of time. I mean, they got basically 2 months to figure it out. This is the great, like, a good time to buy a roster, buy a spot if you want it. I'm also hearing, now that you say it, other, like, roster stuff and swap-ups. Lions, or no, it was Audilan, the jungler for Lion, the team in LTA North, had an interview where he was very candid, saying that there's going to be roster swaps, roster changes in this offseason. So we'll have a lot of episodes during MSI to kind of cover what's going on with all the updates leading into Split 3. Okay, thank you, Vianney, for that one. I forgot about that.
Got you.
Other community news. I have the updated standings for community. Let's run through them fast. Apollo still in first, or actually now back in first place. Apollo and Pacific are kind of ping-ponging. Apollo has 835. Pacific has 826. I am in third still, but have not broken 800. I'm at 795. So I got some ground to make up. Probably will not retake first place, but as long as I get a podium finish, I'm happy. Shout out to Apollo and Pacific for having fantastic fantasy performances, though. And if you want to join our league, make sure to join the community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening. And also, if you want to support the pod, we got a Patreon, we got a merch shop, and Yanni might be announcing a third thing soon, but we got to check the legality of it first. I don't think I'm comfortable with it, so we'll see.
I don't think I am either.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, support us through the Patreon and the merch shop. With that said, let's hop into the leagues. There was only one of our two leagues that was competing this past weekend. That was LTA North. So we're going to start there with reacting to last weekend's games, give our predictions for week one of playoffs, and then end with LEC and our predictions for their week one playoffs. Kicking things off, Mazel, I want to hear from you first here. Run through the schedule from this past weekend, and what were some of your key takeaways, the big stories that you want to start off talking about?
All right, my friends, it was an interesting one, that's for sure. The banger to end all bangers was not the one that you might expect.
Yeah.
As we started off the week, week number 7, the final week of the regular season, with C9 versus FlyQuest, which on paper, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be hype as hell. FlyQuest said no. They said 2-0. And they ended up taking
no,
down
I don't think it will
nine,
be.
Which is actually bigger. Yeah, we'll get to talk about that one. Then my thought process was always right all along. You guys are the doubters. Dignitas took down Lion 2-1 in that first day and that Saturday with a big upset, knocking Lion out of playoffs, which is actually wild. And then the second day on Sunday was TL taking a 2-0 versus Shopify Rebellion and 100 Thieves. They answered in kind to DSG, knocking them out and taking that 2-0 themselves.
Yeah, very fast Sunday. Both 2-0s, both pretty fast series. But the fastest series was on Saturday. C9 Fly is the fastest series of the year by a full
insane
6 minutes over the second fastest series, which is just insane to think about. FlyQuest smacked Cloud9 around. This was not what I expected to see. I actually had Cloud9 favored in this one. But Mazel, I guess I'll let you showboat a little bit more, because you're the only one that predicted FlyQuest. What was your favorite part about this series? Because it was so one-sided that it's kind of hard to like really pick apart the highlight moments other than maybe like Busio's Rumble and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you could think about like the different picks that they had. I mean, it's obviously they're willing to be very flexible with the meta itself, but I think the domination of what I love the most about it, I think they were very clean in a lot of decisions. I think Inspired is absolutely earning all the praise that he's been getting towards the end of the regular season. And I think this team's just starting to cook. I think they're feeling a lot more comfortable. And that's a very terrifying prospect as we crest into the playoffs.
Yeah, it was. It really felt like FlyQuest were one step ahead of C9 at every point after they locked in Rumble support and then flexed it down there. Like, C9 just seemed rattled. Like, they did not know how to deal with that lane. And they didn't know why, like, where FlyQuest was able to fight them, and they like tried to contest them for stuff that they just were not able to. And like you said, Inspired was just kind of put on a masterclass in the jungle, making Blabber's life a nightmare. So, yeah, a cool result, I suppose. Do we think this is cool? I want to hear from Yanni and Badger. Yeah. Badger, you first. Do you think it's cool that FlyQuest smacked Cloud9?
I watched the games back today. The decimation that they had was something else to like watch in real time happen. You kind of feel concerned for Cloud9 because it feels like all of the like compounding issues that they've had this split of like, oh, you know, players are hit and miss. Like, if Zven and Vulcan don't get the game going, then that's going to be an issue for them for the rest of the like to finish out games. Like, Thanatos had one of the Thanatos performances of all time. That game too, the Ornn just sit in the side lane, don't die to Renekton, but get Pantheon man dropped on multiple times, did not work out well for them. And it just, I don't want to take anything away from Cloud9, because I think just FlyQuest played a really good series. Inspired showed he's still the best jungler in the West. Like, Masu and Busio were putting on their last performances to be put into all pro ballots against.
True. This was an argument from them, because a lot of all pro first.
It wasn't an argument. It was a statement from them.
It was a statement. Like, yeah. It's pretty much all C9 and FlyQuest members. And after this smacking from FlyQuest, I think some opinions might change as to who deserves which spots. I think that FlyQuest across the board showed up, and it makes me very excited for what they can do in playoffs if they can maintain this type of form. Makes me very excited for them at MSI as well, which I know is scary to say, getting excited for an NA team going to MSI or any international event. But hey, we saw what they were able to do at Worlds, so maybe they can make some magic happen again.
True.
This is like the one I think we'll spend the most time talking about, just because it's the hypest matchup, other than Lion Dig, which I think was a great series as well. But Yanni, I want to get your thoughts overall. FlyQuest C9, where you stand on it?
Yeah, so first of all, I agree with you. Even though we have been burned in the past by getting excited, it is okay to be excited about FlyQuest. This is the FlyQuest. Okay. Yes, this is the FlyQuest. They look like the FlyQuest that, you know, took Gen G to the limit last year, right? Like, they look like they're rolling at the right time. Now, let me grab the copium tank here.
Okay.
So, obviously, this was bad. Like, this was really bad. Like, this was horrifically bad. Like, two non-competitive games at the 15-minute mark, bad. Like, me inting my face off in solo queue, bad. However, it was not a game that is going to define Cloud9's playoff run. Sure, it puts them against Team Liquid instead of Shopify Rebellion. That's okay. It is a tougher matchup, but it's not like it's a matchup that you can't win. So ultimately, what I'm trying to say is that this match, while yes, it was for the number one seed, didn't have nearly as much negative impact as it could have. And yeah,
it's not like it was a
really,
finals or anything like that.
Really want Cloud9 to beat Team Liquid, and I love Team Liquid, but I want them to beat Team Liquid because that means we get Fly and C9 again. And I want to see how C9 responds to that.
You want the potentially triple matchup where they match in the seeding for playoffs, then again in upper bracket playoffs, then again potentially in grand finals. You want like the three-peat?
I don't necessarily know if I need all three of them. I just want to see Cloud9 play against FlyQuest again, because
okay,
Cloud9 is a good team. Sure, inconsistent, but good. They are way better than what they showed, regardless of how good FlyQuest has been. You would expect Cloud9 to be competitive in that match. I'm willing to give them a mulligan, and if they don't and they get trounced again, then I really hope that, I really hope they find a way to get together at some point, because for a little while they were humming along, but, they're in a weird spot now.
I think the big concern for C9 is that, yes, they've swapped up the roster a little bit, but the past couple of years, they just have not really delivered in playoffs. Like, they look better in the regular season than they do in playoffs. I don't know what it is about them. The last time they won a split was 2023, and that had also been, I think, like 3 years since they had won their previous one. So it's tough to really say, like, you know, obviously different players this time around, so some of that historical context doesn't necessarily build an argument against them right now, but the precedent is there, which I think brings the cause from the fans, at least, cause for alarm higher. So C9, they have their work in front of them here. We'll talk a little bit more about their coming weekend after we react to the rest of the games. But C9 versus Fly, I don't think it delivered on the hype, but it added a weird different layer of hype of just FlyQuest looking really good. So that's always cool. But the series that did actually kind of bounce back and forth and go the distance was Lion Dig. Mizell, you kind of set the tone that it's surprising Lion got knocked out of playoffs. They're gonna have a two-month break here. They're not in playoffs. They will have no chance of going to MSI, so they're gonna have to rebuild. But Dig got it done, and I think Surdy finally had like a pop-off game on a carry. He played Jax and had a really good, at least second half. He got kind of bodied in lane, but then brought it back.
I think Shaden deserves the praise. Shaden did really good. He had really good control
too.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing about that was it felt like not exactly what we had expected when we saw the Shaden Surdy combination. I think this combination was one of the most deadly top jungles in ACL. But it's not been that same way for them, but it finally was like a step in the right direction for these two guys, and it couldn't have happened at a better time. It's so crazy to think that Dignitas take down Lion, who looked so promising so much of this split, at least to be one of those middle of the pack teams.
Yeah.
And now we don't get to see them at all in the playoffs, which is just absolutely crazy. And I know, there's some, they're maybe not so nice words that a lot of the teams have for the playoff format, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Now, that makes now two teams, the Dignitas around them, that they beat in best of threes. They also beat Shopify Rebellion in their best of three. And then now they, you know, beat Lion in best of three as well. Unfortunately, they're still the lowest seed in the lower bracket, so they will match up, unless FlyQuest gets upset by Shopify, they will match up against the loser of C9TL, which I think is going to be really tough for them. But I still think it's awesome to see them make playoffs and overthrow a team like Lion that we had all split and thinking, like, maybe this is the team that can punch up and take out some of the top four. Nope, apparently not. So, flowers to Shaden, and I also think that the bot lane, Tomo, and Isles. Isles had a really good series as well. I think Isles, as a support player, it's hard to stand out, but he definitely turned some heads and got some more respect from myself and a lot of the colleagues in LTA for just like how well he played that series too. So, I will say, though, Sunday, a bit of a snoozer. I don't even care to talk too much about these games other than Yuji and his performance. 100 Thieves Disguised was a smash. That was, I know C9 Fly was also a smash. That was a little more surprising, so we spent time talking about it. I don't want to talk about the 100 Thieves Disguised smash, dude. It was just like, it almost felt like watching like a playground fight of like a first grader versus a fifth grader.
It's the League of Legends version of the stop, he's already dead right? clip from The Simpsons. Dude, like,
that first grader was punching his heart out, but he hit himself a couple of times and just does not have the weight, the mass behind the throws to actually do any damage. So yeah. That's basically the only analogy I'll give there. We'll talk about some of the players afterwards. But TL Shopify, Badger again, Yuji. We got to see our first look at him on stage. So what's your impression? What'd you think?
I mean, he, as we were alluding to earlier, the hand-holding that he got from CoreJJ. CoreJJ invaded contracts on blue buff at like, well, it was level, it was straight up level one, right?
It was like, level one, yeah. He was Poppy, and I believe contracts was at Xin Zhao?
Yeah, Xin Zhao. He was playing Xin Zhao. So he walked, he laid Invaded onto Blue Buff, Invaded onto Contracts, got him off of his first buff, got him off second camp, maybe?
He pushed him off the first and then also stuck around.
He stuck him around. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because it was, yeah, he pushed disgusting. Him off his first camp. Yuji basically had his first full clear done, and Contracts hadn't even cleared a quadrant yet of the jungle, essentially.
Can you retalk? I want to give a second iteration. I want to give a second iteration because I love it so much. Can you retoss the question to me?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Mazel, how do you feel about Yuji and his debut performance?
That's my goddamn goat right there, baby. That's my fucking goat. That's the Mongolia monster you're talking about right there.
Hell yeah.
That man deserves a ton of praise. I know that game one was definitely handheld from
but no, game two was
It was vintage Yuji. This is something that he's decimated every jungler on over the last 2+ years at the tier 2 level. And it's so nice to see him actually get his flowers there. And obviously, I think it's hard because, you know, you look later in the day and see what happens to DSG, the Maryville fandom, you know, maybe not living so strongly in the second series. But this is what happens when you have a good team, a stable structure, and you input new talent and they have room to grow. That's why this experiment with Jan, that's why the experiment with APA has worked out, because the structure behind Team Liquid is so good.
Yes. And Spawn was also in person this past weekend, which I think was another big buff.
That is also true.
Another reason that they probably had the confidence to run Yuji is because head coach was there. So love that for Team Liquid. It makes their next series very interesting to think about with how well Yuji looked and how bad C9 looked. But then, of course, I just want to talk mostly from the DSG side, because we're not going to see them again. They got eliminated from playoffs just like Lions, so we will not see them for the rest of the split. Maybe the same roster will come back for split 3, but they haven't said anything public like Lion did, but I would not be surprised if there were changes. You have 2 months to make changes. That's a lot of time. If you want to change a player on the roster, you can go for it. And I got to just feel for all the players. I got a chance to talk to some of them. Everyone's worried for their position. Everybody's feeling like it could be them. It goes like the team knows, like, oh, yeah, I don't think it's working. Like somebody's moving or somebody's getting dropped, if not multiple of us. So tough to be in that position, but they did not pick up a series win. They only picked up a single game win all split. It was in the positioning phase versus Team Liquid, which was surprising. That was like a big moment. We're not able to replicate that in the group stage. So, again, just heart goes out to them. Don't want to beat down. They already got that from 100 Thieves, so we'll leave it there. But I will say, series to watch, I have Lion versus Dig as like the entertaining one to watch. It was back and forward, and Dig really had to dig deep and work for it. And then also Team Liquid Shopify, just to watch Yuji and the shenanigans that Core JJ gave us for game number one. Okay, well, that was last weekend. Now let's talk about this coming week. We have 2 series ahead of us, and we are in the best of 5s, baby. It is playoffs time. And it's upper bracket to start things off. FlyQuest versus Shopify, and then Cloud9 versus Team Liquid. Across the board, we all think FlyQuest smash Shopify. Only Mazel has Shopify picking up a game. The rest of us have a 3-0. But Mazel, do you want to defend at all Shopify Rebellion as to like why you think they pick up that one win, or do you just not have faith in the 3-0s?
I just believe that whatever stupor Contracts and Palafox are in, they'll shake out of it for one game.
Okay.
And then go back into it. And
I can see it. I can see it. Hey, Fudge also did smack Bwipo.
Mid lane genius. The mid lane.
Just like 2
genius.
Weeks ago. The savant. Yeah. All right. Yeah, the rest of us still just think FlyQuest is that much better.
I just realized that whole quote comes from Xiaohu, right? Uh-huh. Xiaohu stocks are like underneath the earth right now. Oh,
hey now, they're rising.
His last series was better. His last series was better, but that man has been inting the shit out of it. So genius call is not great.
That guy is. Listen, I played against a guy in Flex the other day, and his account name was WBG Xiaohu, and I'm pretty sure that guy played better than Xiaohu.
Ooh. His roommate Kevin was playing at that point.
A bigger brother on the controllers. But yeah, we all think Flying Quest takes that one regardless of what the series score is. Most of us think it's a smash and a sweep. CLT9. Or sorry. Well, what the hell just happened?
CLT9. Yeah.
TLC9. Yeah.
It's the new sponsorship since Honda's out.
This was going to be the battle of Honda versus Kia, by the way. But now it's not. So we can't have like
now only one of them has
memes.
A car. The other one's walking.
Oh, God. Wait, the new meme. Yeah, C9 has a car. Team Liquid shows up on scooters. There we go.
You might get fired, you know, but it's fine.
That's worth it. I'll put my whole career on the line for that joke alone. C9TL, though, we are a little more split. Me and Badger think it's TL with a 3-2. We both think it's a close series. Mostly convinced by how good Team Liquid and how rough C9 looked last weekend, I assume. Mazel and RMC threw his predictions in here as well, actually have even more faith in TL with a 3-1. Yanni's the only one still holding out for C9. Yanni, is it just because you want to see C9 fly in the upper bracket?
So I think it's a couple factors here. So number one, the personal factor, as I've mentioned, I do enjoy myself from Team Liquid. I am a Philadelphia sports fan, and before the Philadelphia sports enjoyed recent success, we were very doomer. So I'm generally doomer about my favorite teams. Now,
okay,
on to the real stuff. So I think that series is going to light a fire under Cloud9's ass. I really do. They are great players, and you don't just lose there and then not come back and respond the next week, right? Number two, I still have questions. The UG factor is going to come in huge here because now this is a playoff game against a really good team. You looked great against Shopify Rebellion. Great. You got to do it again, and you got to do it against a better team and a better jungler on the other side. And I mean, I think he'll have his moments for sure. This is why I think it'll be a 3-2. But ultimately, perhaps the inexperience on the LCS stage could shine, or the LTA stage, I'm sorry, could shine through and be a big problem here.
You see, Yanni, but he has experience. He's been on that stage.
He has been on that stage.
He's
not very often.
On that stage. No, I know. But the reality is, it's so funny because I've been doing work at Team Liquid training facility. And I've gotten to listen in at the lunch conversations, but also talk to like Spawn and stuff. And even before this last series, they were already talking about Yuji's matchup into Blabber and how confident they are in it. So nice. I don't know what they're cooking, but they definitely feel confident with Yuji going into Blabber. I don't know if that's who we'll end up seeing, but that was at least something that might be the focus going into that series.
Could be. Could very well be. I think that that's also the big reason that I have them taking this one. I think it's going to be close because there will be... My prediction is that both junglers will play in this series. I think it's going to be Yuji until they get like Viego and like J4 and Xin Zhao and some of these more aggressive ones. And then they'll swap out to Umpty for the second half of the series and actually play an older
six-man roster.
Yeah, that's the positive of it. That's the power. But either way, I'm expecting that one to be a very close series. Very excited for it. That's our predictions for NA. I'm deciding here because we had our first team All-Pro that we kind of threw in, but then we also got to close out with LEC. Let's just do the first team All-Pro fast. We all agree it's Bwipo inspired for the top lane and jungle. Mid lane, I went Loki. The two of you went Quid, Badger and Mazel. This is just all of like who we put as our front runners. And then I still couldn't decide between Zven and Yon, so I put Zvion for AD carry.
The perfect AD carry specimen.
Yep. Badger put Zven. Mazel put Masu, though, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
I think, honestly, Masu, I think I'm closer to giving Masu a vote than I would be giving Yon a vote.
Yeah.
That's fair. Then Busio for all of us for support. So a lot of FlyQuest. And I will tell you, there was a lot of Cloud9 on my front runners going into the weekend. But then watching FlyQuest do that.
And then the weekend happened.
And that's why we don't vote until the regular season is all done, because that final weekend can be the final closing arguments for these teams. So let us know in the Discord who you think should be front runners for All Pro.
What series are you casting?
I am actually not casting a series this weekend, unfortunately. Oh, it's best of fives for playoffs, so I'm going to be on the desk for both of them and doing my best to hop in that. What's the Dragon Ball Z thing? The the time chamber.
The hyperbolic time chamber. Yeah.
Hyperbolic time chamber. There we go. Practice up and then hopefully get one of the lower bracket. And my dream and the goal I'm working towards is to get the finals weekend Saturday cast. So hopefully I can do that.
I believe you, brother.
Yeah. It's been tough. Flowers is really good. He's really good. So you can enjoy him casting the next two best of fives, but we can also enjoy some best of fives over in LEC. Let's hop across the pond and talk about Europe, because LEC is back, baby. We had 1 weekend off. All the teams got to take a break after the road show, as well as the shenanigans that happened with that, and get ready for playoffs themselves. There's two best of fives there. We got Fnatic versus G2 to start the weekend. Oh, we were all real good this Christmas. We were good boys and girls across the board, and we are being blessed with an amazing start to playoffs, because this is El Clasico, baby. That being said, I don't even know if this is surprising. I was going to say it's surprising to see all Fnatic across the board, but everyone predicts G2 the second time that they match up, because
that was the thought process for me behind it, was early, you always pick Fnatic. Once you get towards like round three and finals, that's when you kind of be like, well, G2's there still, so.
Yep. G2 needs the lower bracket run for the narrative so that they can take another split.
Yes.
That's my argument for them. But yeah, I got Fnatic 3-1, Badger Grease 3-1. RMC and Yanni both have Fnatic 3-2, and Mazel has not thrown his votes in. Mazel, do you agree Fnatic, or do you think G2 could take it? We might have lost Mazel as well.
Oh, I was muted. Sorry.
Feedback.
I do lean on Fnatic. I think there's some hesitancy, but I still think in the end I do go with Fnatic.
All right. Hey, at this point, I'm pretty sure, I don't know exactly, but I think if you just predict the same as me for every series, you will just win LEC predictions by default. So that's not a bad place
there you
to
go.
Be. Yeah.
Nice.
Then we also have set Saturday's game on Sunday. We have KC versus Koi. Another very exciting matchup. But again, okay. So while Mazel figures it out, it's KC for myself, Badger, RMC, and Yanni. We all think the French team can do it. And Mazel, is that final?
Yeah. 100%.
So the French betrayal from Mazel, as instead he will back our boy Jojo Piona.
America won in the end anyways. Let's go.
Who liberated France? You're goddamn right. Let's go, Jojo. the Canadian. But either way, 3-2 is Mazel's prediction right there. So very excited for LEC to be back. Not a lot of insight to give for that one. It's mostly vibes for myself. KC, I think, just looked the best for LEC over the regular season, so I expect them to do very well in playoffs as well. And again, LEC will have two representatives at MSI, remember. So probably one of these teams will be repping them. The lower bracket is GX and Team Heretics. I do not have faith in either of those teams to make a deep lower bracket run. So that's it. That was quick. That was fast. That was swift, as the kids say. I don't think any
still not making it to dinner.
No, I'm going to make it to dinner. It's 8:25. I got time. Do you want to keep talking? I mean, we could just keep going.
Bro's going to make it to dessert, maybe.
Well, that was my plan, honestly. I was like, y'all get food, and then I'll show up whenever I show up. And if that's just like dessert or just hanging out for vibes, that's fine.
Hey, vibes
but,
are great.
That being said, I am very hungry. So let's wrap this up, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. That is it for our
five stars
playoffs preview.
five stars.
Speed run it all. Boom.
Five stars.
Make sure to support us if you want to on the Patreon or through the merch store. Join the community Discord, all the fun things. But the most important fun thing is remember that we love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye bye.
See ya.
See, that was fast. We'll be right back.